That's true. We're not worried about a direct attack. At least, not yet. At the moment, administration are focused on cutting off our supplies. Water isn't an issue. There's a river a little way into the catacombs that we use. Food, though, we can't produce sufficient crops down here. He sighed. Up in the city, shadows are now being told that they need a letter from their employer if they want to purchase large quantities of food. We can get around that for now, but it won't be long before administration start making things even harder. He shrugged. So, as you can imagine, I've been looking for a way to get them to leave us alone. I've reached out a few times, tried to negotiate, but they just aren't willing to listen. So now we're keeping an eye on everyone with power in administration, trying to figure out a way to force the issue.
To blackmail them, you mean?
Said Asha a little darkly. Siner gave her an apologetic smile. I know it's not the most pleasant method, but we have already tried the other avenues at our disposal. He shook his head. Regardless, a few months ago we noticed that the North Warden was abandoning some of his duties. A lot of his duties, in fact, in order to focus on something else. And as it turns out, that something else was his trying to get to the bottom of the attacks. Asha frowned.
That doesn't sound terribly strange.
The Shadrahin raised an eyebrow. We're talking about the North Warden, head of the administrators, the man who created the tenets, a man who hates the gifted like few others. His looking into the attacks wasn't unusual, but abandoning his other duties as well? It seemed odd. Siner smiled grimly. And as it turns out, the more we looked into it, the more it became evident that the North Warden was a little too interested in what was going on. Obsessed, I suppose you'd say. The man doesn't sleep some nights. From what we can tell, he's kept his inquiry from administration, too. He's been very carefully hiding the fact that he's even interested. He rubbed his forehead. What we don't know is why. We have many contacts in the palace and even some in administration itself, but none have been able to get the answers we need. Asha watched him, an uneasy feeling growing in her stomach.
And how do I fit in?
The Shadrahin looked her in the eye. I want to tell him who you are and where you are. Asha just stared at him for several seconds, trying to decide if the man was making some kind of odd joke.
You cannot think I would agree to that.
Siner just held up his hand. Hear me out, he said calmly. I understand the danger if administration finds out about you, but the fact is I don't believe the North Warden will tell them. He's going to want to question you, maybe even take you back to the palace with him to keep you close. But if he turns you over to administration, then he loses that direct connection to you, has to share any information you might reveal. He shook his head. No, it's more likely that he'll keep your secret. And if he wants your cooperation, he's going to have to let you in on his investigation, which is your best chance of getting answers. Asha bit her lip. And maybe after a while he might let slip why it's so important to him, too. Exactly. Which you can then relay back to us. The Shadrahin smiled. Once we know the details, we can hopefully use the information to force the North Warden's hand, get him to have administration back off. And we would find a way to do it without implicating you, of course, he quickly assured her. Asha frowned.
But that's all you would use the information for?
That's all, promised the Shadrahin. Asha shook her head.
It's a huge risk, she observed.
And even if the North Warden doesn't tell administration about me, it doesn't mean he won't try to torture information from me himself. The Shadrahin nodded. I know. And I won't force you to be a part of this, he said seriously.
But from what you were saying earlier, the Council have no leads. So if you really want to find out what happened at Kaladel, this may be a chance you're going to have to take. He paused. I can give you time to...
I'll do it, said Asha.
There had never been a question, really. She was useless sitting at the toll, and each day that passed was another day the trail of Davian's killer became colder. At least this way, there was a possibility she could make a difference.
Good.
The Shadrahin rose, laying a reassuring hand on her shoulder. We will do everything we can to make sure you're safe, Ashalia. There will always be someone keeping an eye out for you, you have my word. And if everything goes according to plan, I'll make sure we find a way to contact you discreetly once you're inside the palace. He wandered over to the door, whispering something into one of the guards' ears, then turned back to her. Shannon here will guide you back to the toll and organize an explanation for why Jin is missing, he said quietly. Little enough time has passed since you left. Your absence shouldn't have been noticed. He gave her a polite nod in farewell. Fates guide you, Ashalia. I hope we meet again soon. As abruptly as that, the meeting was over and Asha was left to follow Shannon back into the toll. Soon she had found her way back to the familiar confines of her room. It was late, but after sleeping earlier she wasn't tired. She paced around for a while, then sat pensively on the bed. How long would it be before the North Warden came to find her? Hours? Days? She glanced at the decay clock. Most of the night had gone. It was only a couple of hours until she had to be at the library. She couldn't sleep, but there was no point in wasting energy. No point in thinking about what was coming, either. She couldn't stop it now, even if she wanted to. Taking a deep, steadying breath, she lay back on the bed and settled down to wait.
Chapter 13. Davian groaned. He reluctantly emerged from unconsciousness, head throbbing. Something wasn't right. Groggily, he moved to rub his forehead, only to find that his arms were pinned to his sides. He came fully awake, remembering everything in a rush. Their rescue attempt, the soldiers, the creature. His eyes snapped open, and he struggled again to raise his arms, to move his body at all. It was to no avail. With a chill, he realized he could feel the cold metal of a shackle sitting snugly around his arm. He thrashed around for a few seconds. Finally, he took a deep breath, twisting his head, which seemed to be the only part of his body that had been left unrestrained, and forcing himself to take stock of the situation. The room was small, tidy, and fairly plain. There was another bed set against the far wall, and a pallet squeezed in between for good measure. The window was open and the curtains drawn back, but wherever he was seemed to be on an upper floor and he could see little from where he lay. The bustle of the street below drifted into the room, the sounds of merchants hawking their wares mingling with the clip-clop of horses on cobbled stone, the creak of carts, and the general chatter of people as they went about their daily business. Clearly a large town, perhaps even a city, though he had no clue as to how he'd gotten there. Weir was stretched out on the other bed, shackle on his arm, lying in an awkward position as a result of his bindings. There was a none-too-gentle snoring coming from his direction, and much to Davian's relief, he did not appear to be injured. The pallet on the floor was occupied by a slender young man, also fast asleep. His shoulder-length, reddish-brown hair fell loosely over his face, but Davian still recognized him. The bruises were gone, and his ragged clothes were a little cleaner, but this was the man from the wagon, the man he and Weir had tried to save. He was younger than Davian had first thought, no more than 2 or 3 years older than Davian himself. Davian noted with chagrin that thick rope encircled the stranger's hands and feet, and a shackle was closed around his arm, too. It seemed the success of their rescue had been somewhat short-lived. At least, he consoled himself, someone had tended the man's injuries. Before Davian could assess the situation further, there was a jangling of keys from just outside. He tensed as the door swung open. The man who strode into the room was middle-aged. His hair still maintained its sandy blonde color, only a few flecks of gray starting to appear around the sides. It was his face that drew Davian's attention, though. It was a mass of scars, some small and some large, some old and white, others still pink from where they had recently healed. One in particular was puffy and raw, streaking from nose to ear, the red punctuated by black, where it had been sewn together again. It gave him a terrifying aspect, and Davian shrank back. The man's deep-set eyes scanned the room as he entered. Seeing that Davian was awake, he stopped short.
"Don't yell,"
he cautioned, his deep voice quiet but authoritative. In contrast to his face, it was reassuring.
"I'm gifted, too. If you draw attention to us, we are all dead."
He rolled up his sleeves to reveal his mark. Seeing that Davian did not seem inclined to start making a commotion, he relaxed a little.
"You're awake much earlier than you should be."
Davian took a couple of deep, calming breaths. They hadn't been captured by the Gilshar. That was a start.
"Who are you?" he asked. "If you're gifted, why am I tied up?"
"You're tied up because I don't know what to make of you yet. We can talk about the other once I do."
The stranger motioned to the man on the floor.
"You freed him. Why?"
Davian frowned.
"It's complicated."
"Then simplify it for me."
The man sat down on the sole chair in the room.
"I have time."
"He's gifted too. It seemed like the right thing to do."
Davian barely kept back a grimace. He could hear the lack of conviction in his own voice. His captor could hear it too.
"We're in the middle of Desriel, lad. You didn't rescue him on a whim. You'll need to do better than that."
Davian shook his head.
"I'd prefer not to say."
"What you'd prefer doesn't really come into it," said the stranger, his ruined face impassive. "You can tell your story to me, or you can have the Gilshar pull it out of you. I know which option I'd choose, but until you've explained your part in this, to my satisfaction, you'll not be untied."
Davian paled. The man was not lying. The stranger's expression softened, as much as that was possible, as he saw the look on Davian's face.
"Look, lad, we're likely all on the same side here. I was tracking this man for a week before you and your friend came along. I may have even tried saving him myself at some point. But that's a risk I would have taken for my own reasons. I need to know what yours are before I can trust you."
He hesitated.
"If it's any help, I know you're an augur, so that's one less thing you need to hide."
Davian froze. He opened his mouth to deny it, but knew from the other man's face that it would serve no purpose. There was certainty in his eyes, cold and still. He felt his resolve wilt under the stranger's steady, calm stare.
I don't know where to start," he said, a little shakily.
The man leaned forward in his chair.
"From the beginning, lad," he said. "Start from the beginning."
Davian's throat was dry by the time he'd finished. He'd related everything. If the stranger knew he was an augur, there had seemed little point in concealing the rest of it. The scarred man had listened in attentive silence, occasionally nodding, sometimes frowning at one piece of information or another. Now he gazed at Davian and seemed sad. That scared Davian more than anything else.
"Quite a tale,"
he said softly.
"You've raised more questions than you've answered, but quite a tale."
Davian released a deep breath.
"So you believe me?"
Ignoring the question, the man drew something from his pocket. The bronze vessel, Davian realized after a moment. The stranger turned it over in his hands, examining it, though Davian could tell from his demeanor that he had already looked it over.
"Yes, I believe you," he said. "That isn't the same as me trusting you, not yet, but it is a start."
He raised his gaze from the box, looking Davian in the eye.
This box cannot be just a wayfinder. It's ancient, whatever it is. You truly don't have any idea what it does?
Davian shook his head. He could see that the part of the box facing the unconscious man was still shining brightly.
It's still active, he supplied. Whichever side of it is closest to him, he nodded towards the man on the floor, lights up with that wolf symbol so brightly that it's hard to look at.
The man grunted, staring at the bronze box as if he could see the same thing if he just looked hard enough.
The symbol you're talking about, the one tattooed on his wrist, it's the symbol of Tar-Anon, the symbol found all across the boundary.
Davian frowned.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure.
Davian's captor glanced at the man on the floor.
When I'm holding this, his tattoo lights up, but I see nothing on the box itself.
He screwed up his face in puzzlement.
No, I don't doubt it's a wayfinder. The symbols are the link. It will probably stay active until the two physically complete the connection, actually touch each other. But what I don't understand is how the box could possibly be coupled only to you. Not without your knowledge, your consent.
Sighing, he tucked the vessel into one of the folds of his cloak. Davian shifted uncomfortably.
Are you going to untie me now?
The stranger glanced at Weir and the young man on the floor, then shook his head.
No, I have the means to verify at least some of your story, so I'll do that first. I do believe you, but then I've met some good liars before. Even ones as young as you.
Davian scowled.
Do you at least trust me enough to tell me your name?
The man nodded.
Tiras Sar, he said, watching Davian's face for a reaction.
The name took a moment to register. The same name as the man who had saved him 3 years ago, who had supposedly broken the first tenet to kill his attackers. The man who had been executed by administration.
No, you're not, said Davian, his brow furrowing. Tiras Sar is dead.
The man smiled.
Is that what they've been saying? I wondered.
He shook his head in amusement.
But no, definitely not dead.
You're lying.
Davian's voice was flat.
Is that what your ability is telling you?
Davian went silent. No puffs of black smoke had escaped the man's mouth.
How?
He asked after a few seconds. The stranger rubbed his disfigured face absently.
I escaped. Presumably administration decided to tell everyone I'd been executed as planned rather than face public embarrassment.
He shrugged.
I fled here, one of the few places no one would think to look for me. Though it seems I cannot escape my past entirely, he added in a dry tone.
Davian made to protest, then subsided. Again the man was telling the truth. This was Tiras Sar.
It's an honor to meet you, Elder Sar, said Davian when he'd recovered enough to speak. I can't tell you how many times I've wished I could thank you for what you did.
Tiras will do just fine. Anyone overhears you calling me Elder and we're all dead.
Tiras cleared his throat, looking awkward.
And you don't need to thank me. 3 grown men attacking a 13-year-old boy? I'd have been a poor excuse for a man to not intervene.
Still, I'm grateful.
Davian shook his head, dazed.
I have so many questions.
Tiras glanced out the window.
There is time, I suppose. We cannot do anything until the other two wake anyway.
He gestured.
Ask away.
Davian thought for a moment.
Did you really break the first tenet when you saved me?
Tiras chuckled, though the sound held little humor.
Ah, so you still don't remember after all this time?
He sighed.
No, lad, I had a couple of daggers, is all. I told them to stop and they attacked me, so I defended myself. They were drunk and I'm faster than I look. But after it was done, all administration saw was 3 dead men and an old gifted who couldn't have possibly overpowered them.
and I was useless as a witness, realized Debian, horrified. I'm so sorry.
Tayrus waved away the apology.
You were unconscious for most of it, truth be told, and even if you hadn't been, your word wouldn't have been enough. Administration were set on making an example. I was a nice way to remind people how dangerous the gifted could be without the tenets. Without them.
So how did you escape? Asked Debian.
Tayrus hesitated, then drew two small stones from his pocket, one black and one white.
These are travel stones, he explained. Vessels that create a portal between each other. They've come in rather handy over the years. That day was no exception. Nor was last night, actually.
Ah.
Davian had wondered how Tayrus had managed to quietly transport three unconscious boys from the middle of the forest to an inn.
So why are you in Desriel? Why were you after him?
He jerked his head towards the young man on the floor.
Are you looking for the Signori too?
Tayrus grimaced.
I have some bad news for you, lad. The man who sent you here, Tenbar, has misled you. There are no Signori in Desriel.
Davian scowled.
That's not possible. He wasn't lying.
And you're sure about that? You said you haven't been able to learn anything about your ability.
I'm sure, snapped Davian.
Tayrus looked at him appraisingly.
Does it work through a shackle?
Davian nodded.
Then let me show you something. I will tell you three things, two truths and one lie. Let's see if you can tell me which one is false.
Davian shrugged.
Very well.
Tayrus closed his eyes for a moment, concentrating.
It is midday. We are currently in a town called Danmar. I am 45 years old.
Davian frowned, his head throbbing a little as he tried to process what was happening. No puffs of darkness had escaped from Tyrus's mouth.
They are all true, he said slowly.
Tayrus shook his head.
It is mid-afternoon. We are in a town called Anabir, and I am 48.
Davian stared in disbelief. Again, nothing.
How did you do that? He asked, stunned.
Tayrus shrugged.
An old trick. Not one many of your generation would know, but common enough knowledge back when the augurs ruled. It's a mental defense, a shield against invasions of the mind. It takes training to do for any period of time, but most people could hold it for a few minutes effectively enough.
He shook his head, seeing the stricken look on Davian's face.
I am sorry, lad. Truly.
But,
Debian stared at the man on the floor.
Who is he, then? Why did Elder Tenvar send me here?
That's what we're going to find out. For what it's worth, I don't believe Tenvar was lying about the boundary. He probably had to lace his tale with as much truth as possible, to be sure he could fool your ability.
Tayrus rose.
I have a few inquiries to make in town. If your story checks out, we'll talk some more.
He started walking towards the door, then paused, indicating the man sleeping on the floor.
It's not likely he'll wake before I'm back, but if he does, best to pretend you're still asleep. I don't know why Tenvar lied to you, but if he went to such lengths to send you here, he probably didn't have your best interests at heart. Which means that man probably doesn't either.
He left. The door closed behind him, leaving Davian pale and shaken. Tenvar had lied. It had all been for nothing. Chapter 14. Daylight was fading outside by the time Weir finally stirred. It didn't take Davian long to explain to his disbelieving friend what had transpired. Weir took the news about Ilseth's deception stoically, for which Davian was grateful. It was Davian's blind trust of his ability that had led them here, placed them in such a perilous situation. He wasn't sure he could have handled anger from Weir atop his own guilt.
Once Davian was finished, Weir shifted awkwardly on his bed, evidently trying to stretch out some stiff muscles.
"So you're sure it's Tayrus Sar?"
"As sure as I can be." Weir bit his lip.
"Dav, if it is, I know the man saved you, but you should know that I've heard things about him. He's supposed to be dangerous. Unbalanced, even. If he..."
He cut off at the sound of a key rattling in the lock on the door. Tayrus bustled in, apparently oblivious to the fact he'd interrupted their conversation, and gave a satisfied nod when he saw the man on the floor was still unconscious.
"Davian's told you who I am?"
he asked, turning his attention to Weir. Weir nodded, watching the scarred man with a mixture of trepidation and curiosity.
"Yes." "Good."
Tayrus went on to ask Weir a series of questions about the past few weeks. Once he was satisfied that Weir's and Davian's accounts were the same, he strode over to Davian's bed and began untying him.
"My contacts in town were able to verify parts of your story. A well-known hunter killed in a scuffle in Fajet. A man in Tamiel who collapsed under suspicious circumstances and woke up with the last 2 years of his life missing. Not much, but enough for now."
Davian massaged his wrists as he sat up straight, stretching his muscles, stiff from disuse.
"What did you say about the man from Tamiel?"
he asked suddenly, a chill running through him. Tayrus gave him a considering look.
"You wondered whether you had done something to make your smuggler friend forget about the vessel. From the sounds of it, you were right."
He moved on to releasing Weir. Davian felt sick. Anar may have deserved punishment, but that was of little comfort. He was another person he'd managed to hurt because he'd been too eager, too gullible to see through Tenbar's lies. Weir stood as soon as he was able, walking in circles to loosen his muscles. He nodded to the man on the floor.
"So what do you know about him?"
he asked Tayrus, mistrust thick in his voice. "Davian says you are tracking him. Why?"
"Because of what's happening at the boundary. That part of what Tenbar told Davian, at least, I believe to be true."
Tayrus sighed.
"Except it's more than that. I don't think the decay at the boundary is happening naturally. I studied it for years, even before the war. The essence that sustains it has only started to noticeably decay in the last decade."
Weir frowned.
"Why is that significant?"
"Think of it as a physical wall. You build the wall out of good, thick, solid stone and you leave it for 2,000 years. When you come back, it's still standing. Crumbling, maybe, and worn by wind and rain, but still strong. Still serving its original purpose."
Tayrus paused.
"Then you come back a decade after that, and it's completely gone. What conclusion do you draw?"
Davian's brow furrowed.
"Something knocked it down."
"Or someone," Weir added quietly.
"Exactly."
There was silence for a moment, then Weir frowned.
"Do the Tolls know about your suspicions? You said you began noticing decay 10 years ago, and you've only been here for 3.
"I tried to tell both consuls several times, but..."
Tayrus shook his head in frustration.
"The Tolls stopped checking the boundary regularly more than 1,000 years ago, so my old notes were the only real proof that the decay had accelerated. They accepted that the boundary might be decaying, but not that it was happening rapidly. They didn't believe that it was being caused by anything except the passage of time. Tol Athian told me I was being alarmist, and Tol Shen just laughed in my face."
"But you are certain?"
"Yes. So for the last few years I've been keeping watch for anything that might be related. Any sign that the boundary failing is part of a greater plan. Proof that I can take back to the Tolls."
He walked over and pulled back the man's sleeve, revealing the black wolf tattoo on his wrist.
"I found a few clues, but nothing I could use or pursue, until a contact of mine told me about this. This symbol is carved into every boundary stone, and our friend here has it tattooed on his wrist."
"So you think he may know something, be involved somehow?"
Davian stared at the sleeping man with new trepidation. And by extension, so may Ilseth Tenvar, noted Weir, his tone grim. Tayrus nodded.
That this particular symbol was used as the link for you to find him, I don't know what it means yet, but it has to be significant. Something is going on.
He hesitated.
There's more, though.
He drew back the man's left sleeve further, baring his left forearm. For a moment, Debian didn't understand. Then his eyes widened,
and to his left he heard Weir's sharp intake of breath.
The young man did not have the mark.
Fates. He's not bound by the tenets? Weir asked softly.
It seems not, said Tayrus.
Debian suddenly made the connection.
This is the man the hunters were talking about. The one who killed all those people?
Tayrus nodded.
At least that's what the Gilshar are saying. An entire village slain. And they're claiming it was by his hand.
He shook his head.
As to the truth of it, I can't say. I know all too well the stories people make up out of fear of the gifted. Unfortunately, the result is the same.
That story is everywhere. The entire country will be looking for him.
For us, breathed Weir.
Tayrus nodded.
Before you intervened, he was being taken to Thrindar for a very public execution. During the Song of Swords, no less. The Gilshar wanted to show all the countries present that not only are the gifted evil, but that they are something to always be feared. That the tenets are no reason for anyone to accept us, to relax their guard.
Davian frowned, taking a small step away from the sleeping man as the new information sank in. He didn't look like a murderer, and he was still tied up, but even so. Beside him, Weir was becoming increasingly agitated. If the Gilshar find out that he was freed by another gifted, he shook his head, a flicker of fear in his eyes. There will be outrage. Claims it was ordered by the Andaran government, or that we're using him to find a way for everyone to break free of the tenets. A case for war. Tayrus nodded, giving Weir a respectful look.
One of the many good reasons I hadn't already rescued him, he said, a little dryly. The Gilshar barely need an excuse for war as it is. The one reason they haven't attacked Andara over the past 15 years is that they fear it will cause King Andras to change the tenets. But if they think we're trying to get around them anyway, there'll be nothing holding them back.
Davian paled. The implications of their actions reached further than he could possibly have imagined.
So what can we do? He asked. We can't just give him back to the Gilshar.
We can if he's guilty, pointed out Weir. We should. Better to let them have their political posturing in Thrindar than to risk an incident like this.
Davian turned to his friend aghast.
You cannot be serious.
Tayrus held up his hand.
Let's hear his story before we make any decisions. He's healed at a remarkable rate. I think we can wake him now.
Weir raised an eyebrow.
You didn't heal him?
Tayrus shook his head.
I couldn't risk using essence. There are too many soldiers around with finders. But it seems he's instinctively drawing from his own reserve to heal himself anyway. It's quite remarkable.
Davian eyed the sleeping man nervously. Gifted could accelerate their own healing, but he'd never heard of anyone who was able to do it unconsciously. Tayrus stooped beside the red-headed man, then hesitated.
Davian, I doubt he'll have the awareness to mask any deception, even if he knows how. Tell me if he lies.
He gripped the sleeping boy by the shoulder and gave him a gentle shake. The young man groaned, coming awake.
Where am I?
He asked, voice rasping slightly. Tayrus, Davian, and Weir all looked at the stranger in silence for a few seconds. His appearance was markedly different from last night. His skin was pale, showing no sign of the bruising that had covered it only hours earlier. Ice-blue eyes searched the room, trying to evaluate what was happening. His reddish-brown hair hung to his shoulders, framing a face that seemed narrower than it would normally, due to his sunken cheekbones. His frame looked slight, but that was again most likely due to a lack of food, rather than his natural physical appearance. It was Tayris who finally spoke.
"For now, you are safe. But if you lie to me, you will be back in Gilshar custody within the hour. Do you understand?"
The stranger nodded mutely. Tayris held up the vessel in front of him.
"What is this?"
The stranger squinted at the object.
"I don't know."
Tayris flicked a quick glance at Davian, who inclined his head. It was the truth, so far as he could tell, anyway.
"But you can see it glowing?" asked Tayris.
The red-haired man nodded.
"The same as my wrist," he said, sounding confused.
Tayris considered for a moment.
"Very well," he said. "Who do you work for? What were you to do with this after it was delivered to you?"
The stranger gave Tayris a perplexed, helpless look.
"I am sorry. Truly," he said quietly. "I don't know what you're talking about. My memory is..."
He shook his head.
"Beyond 3 weeks ago, I remember nothing. I don't even know if I'm guilty."
He trailed off again, a pained look in his eyes. There was a moment of silence, then Tayris gave a derisive snort.
"You will need to do better than that."
Davian had been watching the stranger, a small frown on his face. He turned to Tayris.
"I think he's telling the truth."
Tayris scowled.
"Do you at least have a name?"
"Caden," said the man. "That's what the villagers said anyway."
Tayris grunted.
"Caden, like the Darisian fairy tale. How appropriate," he said dryly. "Well, Caden, perhaps you should tell us what you do remember, and we can go from there."
"There's not much to tell," Caden admitted. "A few weeks ago, I found myself in the middle of the forest. No recollection of how I got there or who I was. I didn't even know which country I was in. I was holding a sword, and my clothes were soaked in blood. At first I thought the blood was mine, but apart from a couple of scratches, I wasn't injured. I found a stream and tried to wash the blood out of my clothes, but most of it had already stained. I wandered for a few hours until I found a road, and eventually a group of men came across me. When I told them I couldn't remember anything, they offered me shelter in their village and food for the evening. One of them thought he recognized me, said I'd probably been attacked and beaten by bandits. They seemed like good people at the time."
Caden grimaced at that.
"The next day, word came that my village had been wiped out. Someone had gone through the town and put everyone to death. Everyone. The people who'd seen the aftermath said there were women and children lying in the streets. Blood everywhere. And that all the faces had been disfigured, mutilated beyond recognition."
He shuddered.
"Many of the people where I was staying had friends and family that had died. There was a lot of grief, a lot of fear. It didn't take long for people to make a connection. At first they just locked me up, said not to worry, that I'd probably been a survivor, maybe a witness, and that they were doing it just in case. But I think they'd already made up their minds. After a couple of days, there was a farmer whose wife had been visiting the other village when the attack came. He'd gone and found her body, what he thought was her body anyway, and then came straight back to find me."
He shivered.
"He was a big man, so they let him into my cell. The constable just looked the other way, locked the door with the two of us inside and left. I tried to explain, but he was so angry."
Caden's voice wavered as he remembered.
"He was going to kill me. I was so afraid, and then I just reacted. I used the gift, I suppose. Threw him back against the cell door so hard that he broke his neck."
He ran his hands through his hair.
"It was an accident. But no one believed it. The village Katari's finder went off, so they knew how I'd done it. But I didn't have a tattoo, which made them even more afraid. Once they knew I had powers, though, it settled any doubts they'd had. They were going to hang me. There were enough people who wanted it to happen.
but the Gilshar sent word that they wanted a public execution in Thrindar. So they put a shackle on me and kept me locked up for another week.
His hands shook as he remembered. He clasped them together to stop them from trembling.
They beat you?
Interjected Tayrus, his tone gentler now. Caden nodded.
Every day, he said softly. And when the soldiers came to take me to Thrindar, they took me out every evening and did the same. Gave me just enough time to heal so that I would be conscious for the next night.
He hesitated.
I am grateful we didn't reach Thrindar, though.
Tayrus didn't respond. He thought in silence for a few seconds, then turned to Davian.
Well?
Davian didn't take his eyes from Caden.
It's all true, he said eventually.
Except it wasn't. On Caden's last sentence, the tiniest puff of darkness had escaped from the young man's mouth. He'd been lying about not wanting to reach Thrindar. He'd wanted to be executed. Tayrus inclined his head in acknowledgement, and Davian could see the struggle on his face, knew what the Elder was thinking.
We can't give him to them,
Davian observed. Weir nodded his agreement.
And he doesn't know an ill-cursed thing about the boundary, growled Tayrus, though he didn't argue the statement. You're sure he wasn't lying?
As sure as I can be.
Davian tried to keep the bitterness from his tone. Tayrus was silent, then turned to Caden, still holding the vessel.
I can't say as I like our choices here, but someone went to an awful lot of trouble to get you this box. You're important somehow. Too important to turn over to the Gilshar.
He shook his head.
We're going to have to get your memories back.
How?
Asked Caden.
There's a device in Tol Athian, a vessel meant to repair the mind. That's where we need to go, so we're going to have to trust each other, I suppose.
He began untying Caden's hands.
I'm going to leave the shackle on, though. If you...
Without warning, the door exploded inward off its hinges, flying past Tayrus's head and embedding itself in the far wall. Everyone froze for a moment in shock. The figure in the doorway seemed to slither into the room. Davian quickly took in the black cloak, the shadowy hood, the swirling blade that wasn't quite there. The creature from last night. Tayrus moved with a speed that Davian would not have credited him with had he not seen it. The older man leapt to one side and rolled. As he came up, he crossed his wrists in front of himself, closing his eyes. A blinding flash roared through the air and the creature staggered a few steps backward, its disfigured, pallid face briefly illuminated, mouth curled in a silent rictus of pain. Davian's heart dropped as the creature stopped, steadied, and then started forward again. With shackles on, there was little any of them could do to help. The creature's blade flashed at Tayrus's head. Tayrus ducked backward, a shield of blazing white appearing in front of him. The dagger darted forward again into the shield. Rather than the expected clash, the blade sliced straight through Tayrus's defense, extinguishing it in an instant. Dismissing the older man, the creature turned towards the three boys in shackles, holding its dagger aloft.
Shateth Kelloran Sa' Ilrith,
Tayrus yelled. The words stopped the creature. It lowered its blade and turned back to Tayrus, staring at him through its unblinking dead eyes for several long seconds.
Shateth Desendra An, it growled.
Tayrus's eyes widened with astonishment as it let out a guttural laugh, then swiveled, preparing to deliver the killing blow. The contents of Weir's satchel had spilled all over the floor during the initial attack. While the creature's back was turned, Caden had knelt, scrabbling awkwardly for something that he had seen fall under the bed. For one gut-wrenching second, Davian wondered if Tayrus had dropped the vessel in the confusion and almost made to stop him. Then Caden found what he was looking for. Another shackle. By the time the creature turned back, Caden was ready. He leapt forward, beneath the swinging blade of shadows, hands plunging deep beneath the creature's hood and pressing the ends of the torque against its neck. The scream that followed was chilling, a sound filled with pain and torment. The blade vanished from the creature's hand.
It stumbled backward, flailing wildly as the shackle began melding to its throat, wailing in a high-pitched screech that forced all four men to cover their ears. Its hood fell back and Davian recoiled in horror. Even set against ashen skin and disfigured features, the creature's eyes were recognizably human, locked onto him in pleading for mercy. Then it fell to the floor, and with a final convulsion lay still. Tayrus stared at Caden wide-eyed.
That was...
quick thinking,
Davian breathed. He clapped Caden on the back, as much to stop his hands from shaking than anything else. Caden inclined his head, still panting from the adrenaline.
Is it dead?
Asked Weir cautiously. Suddenly there was a crash downstairs, and the sound of angry voices echoed along the hallway outside. Tayrus grimaced, then sprung into action, gathering up his scant possessions.
We need to go. All of us, he said, with a meaningful glance at Caden.
The red-haired man hesitated, then gave a single, relieved nod of assent. For a split second, Davian looked at Tayrus, puzzled, before realizing why there was such urgency in his tone. Tayrus had used the gift. They had minutes, if that, before the inn was swarming with Gilshar soldiers. They hurried downstairs and slipped out through a back door, apparently without raising any suspicion. It was past dusk, but there were still plenty of people about. Davian risked a glance back as they mingled with the crowd, moving slowly but steadily away. As he watched, a group of about 20 soldiers rushed inside the inn, silent but grim-faced. Even at this distance, he could see their finders out and a trap at the ready. The town was large, but those in the dirty, poorly lit streets paid them little heed as they hurried past, and they made good time. Davian flinched at every glance that came their way, but they were soon through the eastern gate without incident. "Where do we go now?" asked Weir, the first any of them had spoken since the inn.
"North," replied Tayrus. "I'll explain more when we're well clear of this place."
Weir grimaced, obviously disliking the answer as much as Davian did, but there was little else either of them could do but nod. They started down the dark road in silence. Chapter 15. They had only traveled for a few minutes before Tayrus stopped, signaling the others should do the same.
Now, tell me which one of you has given Tol Athion a trace, he said, expression grim as he stared at the three boys. And then you might like to tell me why they have decided to use it, too.
Davian frowned. What was a trace? He glanced across at Weir, but his friend was just glaring back at Tayrus.
If it was me, I don't remember, pointed out Caden. I don't even know what a trace is.
Tayrus examined their faces for a moment, then nodded in Weir's direction.
He can explain it to you.
Weir grimaced, eyes still locked with Tayrus.
A trace is a small sample of your essence, sealed in a container that keeps it fresh, pure. Everyone's essence is unique, so if Tol Athion needs to find someone, they can use their trace to help locate them.
Tayrus nodded.
It's like a person's scent, he elaborated to Caden and Davian. And the Sha'teth are the hounds, except that the trace can only guide them if the person they are tracking uses the gift.
He rubbed his forehead tiredly.
Which young Weir here did in the process of rescuing Caden, I assume.
But not at the inn, protested Weir.
They can use it to track you for up to a day after, longer if you've got a deep reserve.
Tayrus frowned at Weir.
When you expend that much power, you're using your body as a focal point, drenching it with energy, and that takes time to fully dissipate. Finders can't pick it up, but a Sha'teth's senses can.
I didn't know that, said Weir softly.
You should have asked, growled Tayrus. The question is, why do Tol Athion want to kill you, Weir? What crimes have you committed that they would go so far as to take a trace?
Davian and Caden had both watched the exchange in open-mouthed silence. Davian stared at his friend in disbelief. Weir had brought that creature down on them?
It's called a Shateth?
Davian had never heard the word before.
What is it?
He looked at Weir in confusion.
What's going on?
Weir frowned, looking almost as puzzled as Davian.
I'm not sure.
He turned to Tayris. If Tolathian sent the Shateth after me, it was not to kill me, I promise you that. I don't know why it attacked. They do have my trace, but not because I've committed any crime.
He shook his head.
It's complicated, but I cannot say more.
Tayris's face darkened.
The Shateth are assassins. That is their only purpose. You'll tell me everything, boy, or that shackle won't be coming off your wrist anytime soon.
Then that's the way it must be. I'm not lying, though.
Weir met Tayris's gaze flatly, without fear. He'd never been afraid of standing up to the elders in Kaladel when he felt he was in the right, and it seemed he was no more intimidated by Tayris.
He's not lying, agreed Davian.
Tayris turned to Davian.
And you're not in the slightest bit curious as to why the Shateth are hunting your friend?
Davian studied Weir for a long moment, then took a deep breath.
I am, but I trust him. If we need to know what's going on, he'll tell us.
Tayris glowered as Weir gave Davian a grateful nod.
We'll talk more of this later, when we're safely away, the scarred man promised. The immediate danger is past, at least. You won't be able to attract the rest of them while you're wearing a shackle. We should be safe.
He grimaced.
As far as these things go.
Caden shifted.
There are other Shateth? He asked, echoing Davian's thoughts.
Tayris nodded.
Four of them. All hunters, though, so at least they can't jump directly to our location like the Watcher did.
He glanced back in the direction of Annabir.
Still, regardless of whether Tolathian still holds their leash, they won't be pleased that their brother has been killed. We should keep moving.
Weir held up his hand. Before we follow you blindly wherever you're taking us, you need to answer a few of our questions.
Tayris inclined his head wearily.
Of course.
The other Shateth, will they come after us?
Almost certainly, Tayris sighed. Once, perhaps not. But if what you say is true and they were not instructed to kill you, well, from what I just saw, they may be operating outside of Tolathian's purview. The one that attacked us certainly seemed to ignore my command easily enough, and that should not have been possible.
What did you say to it? Asked Davian.
Caden spoke up.
It said, the Shateth no longer serve.
They turned as one to look at Caden, who shrugged.
I didn't understand it at the time, but just now, remembering, I knew what it meant.
He glanced at Tayris.
Am I right?
Yes, said Tayris slowly, his expression curious as he stared at Caden.
Then he shrugged.
It could be that the commands have changed since my time and that the creature was simply mocking me. Still...
He looked troubled. Weir gestured to the road ahead. So along with avoiding the other Shateth, you said we need to get back to Tolathian to figure out what's happening with the boundary. Why are we heading north? Tayris sighed.
With Caden's escape, the Gilshar will be focused on the borders. It will be all but impossible for us to get across unaided. And we don't have the option of finding a smuggler as you did to get here. Even those types will be unwilling to cross the Gilshar on this, no matter how much coin we offer.
True, conceded Weir, but heading towards Thrindar is hardly the solution.
A Song of Swords is being held in Thrindar, corrected Tayris. As of now, there is still a week of the festival remaining. The royal entourage from Andara will be there, and Desriel allows visiting royalty to bring a small contingent of gifted. If we can get into the city, I have contacts who can get us an audience. You may be able to slip over the border with them when they leave.
There was silence for a couple of seconds.
It won't work, said Weir.
It's our best chance, countered Tayris. The Gilshar will assume Caden is running straight for the border and they don't know for certain that anyone else is involved. They certainly won't imagine he has any way of contacting the Andaran delegation.
Weir shook his head doggedly. But they'll never let us join them. If they did and we were discovered, it wouldn't just be grounds for war, it would start it, then and there. The official Andaran delegation smuggling Gifted out of Desriel, including one accused of murder? He shot an apologetic glance at Caden. I'm sorry, Tayrus, but you must see how irresponsible that is. Our lives are not worth that sort of risk. Davian looked at his friend in surprise. Weir had not raised his voice, but something about his demeanor had changed. For just a moment, the easygoing boy he knew had vanished. There was heavy concern, genuine intensity behind his words. Tayrus considered Weir for a second, then sighed.
You're right, Weir, but think for a moment about what I have told you today. Our lives are not my first concern. If there is some force at work trying to bring down the boundary, do you imagine there's no threat to Andara?
If there is, we don't know what it means, said Weir stubbornly, whereas war with Desriel is most certainly a threat. Tayrus bit his lip, then came to a decision. He reached into his satchel, drawing out a small metal box and opening it, shivering as he gingerly picked out the paper-thin object within. It was about the size of his palm and completely black. Though it seemed polished to an almost mirror finish, it reflected none of the daylight as Tayrus held it up. He leaned over, offering it to Weir.
Be careful. The edges will slice through your fingers if you slip.
Weir took it cautiously, visibly shivering as his hand touched its surface. He slowed his stride as he examined the irregularly shaped disc.
What is it? He asked with a look of horrified fascination. A scale from a Dargathan, replied Tayrus.
Weir dropped the disc as it burnt. It fell to the grass beside the road without a sound. He stopped and began rubbing his fingers together as if trying to remove any trace of the object from his skin, though Davian could not see any physical residue.
Of course it is,
he said with a shaky laugh, recovering himself somewhat.
Part of a mythical creature that you carry around in your pocket. Naturally.
Despite his words, he stared at the fallen black disc as if it might leap up and attack him. Caden frowned.
A Dargathan? A mixture of snake and man. One of the five abominations used against Andara in the Eternity War, explained Tayrus.
It's part of the Talon Ghul myth,
continued Weir to Caden, sounding dubious.
When Arkhine Dvaid invaded, he supposedly led warriors that were almost impossible to kill. Mixtures of animals and men. The Dargathan were snakes.
He shook his head, turning back to Tayrus.
I want to believe you, but I took what Tenvar said about those creatures on faith, because we didn't know he could lie to Davian at the time. To be honest, when we found out he could, it made sense to me. It's hard to believe that they really exist.
Tayrus grunted.
Well, the creature I found on the northern border a few months ago was certainly real enough, he said quietly. I removed that scale from its carcass myself.
You actually saw one? Asked Weir,
clearly caught somewhere between astonishment and skepticism. Tayrus nodded, choosing to ignore the doubt in Weir's tone.
Just this side of the boundary. The effort of crossing must have killed it.
He sighed.
I took the scale and went to the garrison at Chandra, thinking to get help bringing the body back. By the time we returned, it had disappeared.
So if the boundary is still killing whatever tries to escape the north, that means someone from this side had hidden it?
Asked Weir, doubtful.
It would appear so.
Davian glanced at Weir and Caden, not knowing what to make of Tayrus's claim. Weir still looked reluctant to believe the older man, but Caden was staring at the scale on the ground in fascination. He walked over next to Weir and squatted, looking at the thin black plate without touching it. Then he grabbed a stick and shifted the disc.
I believe you, he said.
Davian stared at the patch of grass where the scale had been lying. The blades, green only a few moments ago, had turned black and shriveled. Lifeless. Tayrus turned his attention to Caden.
You remember something?
Caden shrugged.
It's difficult, he said slowly. I get these flashes. It's not memory exactly, but it's not like knowing how to talk, either. It's an instinct, I suppose. You told me what a Dargaethan was, and suddenly I knew the grass underneath its scale would be dead. But I can't even tell you why I thought that. He rubbed his forehead in frustration. Sometimes I feel like I'm so close to knowing something, to remembering, and then it just slips away again. Tayrus gave him a sympathetic nod.
It will come.
He turned to Davian.
Try picking it up. Careful, though. Avoid touching the edges.
Davian reached down and cautiously plucked the scale from the ground. As he touched it, he shivered. A wave of nausea rolled through him, gone in an instant but leaving him feeling drained, far more tired than a moment ago. Aside from the sensation, the scale had a cool, metallic feel to it. He handed it back to Tayrus, who promptly dropped it back in its metal container.
"What was that?" asked Davian, suddenly understanding Weir's reaction to touching the thing.
He could still feel its cold surface against his skin.
"Dargaethan were supposed to be impervious to attack from the Gifted. I think that's the reason why," Tayrus said, gesturing to the dead patch of grass. "Their scales absorb essence, draw it in, maybe even feed off it."
There was silence as everyone stared at the blackened grass.
"For the sake of argument, let's say we believe you," said Weir, looking shaken. "What are you trying to tell us in truth? That Alchesh was right all along? That Davade's been sitting patiently in his prison for 2,000 years just waiting for his chance to wreak havoc upon the world again?"
Tayrus stared at the boy for so long that Weir actually reddened.
"For a young man with such a healthy skepticism, you know a great deal about the Eternity War."
Weir scowled.
"I read,"
he said defensively. His scowl deepened as he saw Davian's eyebrow raised in half-questioning amusement.
"I do."
Tayrus smiled slightly.
"In answer to your question, I don't have proof of anything like that. I am trying to keep an open mind, though. I've seen some astounding things done with essence. It's unlikely, but if there is even the slightest chance Davade could still be alive..."
He sighed.
"Put it this way. The Dargaethan I saw, along with everything else going on with the Boundary, has certainly made me look at Alchesh a little more seriously."
He turned to Davian and Caden, seeing their blank expressions.
"Alchesh was an augur from the time of the Eternity War. The stories say he was so immensely powerful he was driven mad by seeing too much of what was to come," he explained. "After the Boundary was created, he foretold that it would one day fail, that Davade and his armies would eventually be freed. People took it seriously for a long time. They manned forts, checked the Boundary regularly for any signs of attack. After a few centuries without so much as a sighting, though, a lot of people began to think Alchesh's foretelling must have been a result of his madness, that not even a powerful Gifted like Davade could still be alive after so many years. The opinion became popular enough that the old religion eventually struck Alchesh's visions from their canon and declared the Eternity War over. Soldiers were reassigned and the tolls gradually stopped taking their readings. People forgot about the North as they focused on more immediate threats. The civil war in Narut, and the constant little skirmishes between Desriel and Andara, and Dara and Nesk.